Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simani member by Avram Goldar and today with Zekhus Bab Metzia, Daf Ayin Off, the fifth parak, Ezehu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brace of Yossi said, Bo rei samyos einam shel malvi beribbis. Come and see the blindness of those who lend with ribbis. Ordinarily, if someone is called a Rasha, he fights with the offender as if he was threatening his life. Yet, those who lend with ribbis when writing the shtar bring edim and a scribe and a pen and ink and effectively write and sign Ploni zet kafir be'al kei Yisrael. Ploni denied the God of Israel by ignoring his prohibition against ribbis. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught in a brisa that the Torah says about anyone who has money and lends without ribbis, kaspo nasim neshach, he did not give his money on interest, but shochad al naki lelakach, and has not taken a bribe against the innocent, he who does these shall never falter. This implies that anyone who does lend with ribbis, his possessions will falter. Although even the possessions of those who lend without ribbis falter, they rise again, as opposed to those who lend with ribbis. Point number two, it was taught in a brisa that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with interest, and another Jew asked to borrow the money and pay the additional interest to the non-Jew, it's forbidden as a loan from the Jew. But if the first borrower presented him to the non-Jew, who agreed to transfer the loan to him, is permitted as a loan from the non-Jew. In the reverse case, where the lender is a Jew and the first borrower is a non-Jew, then borrowing from the first borrower is permitted, but if the transfer is made at the lender's direction, it's prohibited as a loan from the Jew. The final ruling is understandable, for although a non-Jew cannot be or appoint a shaliach, so the lender is actually the non-Jewish intermediary, the Braisa rules strictly to consider the non-Jew a shaliach of the Jewish lender. However, in the first pair of cases of the non-Jewish lender, the loan should be prohibited even at the lender's discretion, since the Jewish borrower cannot be a shaliach. But Papa answers, Kagon Shanatav Nasim B'Yad. It's a case where the non-Jew took the money from the first borrower and gave it with his hand to the second borrower. So the loan is from the non-Jew. The Gemara explains the Chiddush. And point number three, Ravashi attempts to answer that a non-Jew is only disqualified from Shlichus for Truma, but not other halachos. In another version, he said that although a non-Jew cannot be a Shliach, a Jew can be his Shliach. Both of these answers are disproven based on the source for Shlichus from Truma. Ravina answers, Nihid the Shlichus Lenachir Leisle. Granted, the non-Jew does not have the power of Shlichus, Zechiyam, the Rabbanin Esle, but rabbinically he has the power of acquisition through a third party without the beneficiary's knowledge of appointing a Shliach. Therefore, the second borrower acquires the payment on the non-Jew's behalf and then borrows it from him. Ravina derives this from a katan who is disqualified from Shlichus, since he cannot separate Truma, the source for Shlichus, yet, rabbinically, still has the power of Zechiyah. The Gemara rejects Ravina's proof. Yisrael asil chal shlichus. A Jew, even a katan, will later come into the principle of shlichus when he matures, so the rabbis granted him zechiyah while he's still a katan, whereas a non-Jew will never be eligible for shlichus and so does not have zechiyah. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a brisa. Rabbi Yossi said, Bo rei samyos einam shel malvi beribbis. Come and see the blindness of those who lend with ribbis. Ordinarily, if someone is called a Rasha, he fights with the offender as if he was threatening his life. Yet, those who lend with ribbis when writing the shtar bring edim and a scribe and a pen and ink and effectively write and sign Ploni zet kafir be'al kei Yisrael. Ploni denied the God of Israel by ignoring his prohibition against ribbis. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught in a brisa that the Torah says about anyone who has money and lends without ribbis, kaspo nasim neshach, he did not give his money on interest, but shochad al naki lelakach, and has not taken a bribe against the innocent, he who does these shall never falter. This implies that anyone who does lend with ribbis, his possessions will falter. Although even the possessions of those who lend without ribbis falter, they rise again, as opposed to those who lend with ribbis. Point number two, it was taught in a brisa that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with interest, and another Jew asked to borrow the money and pay the additional interest to the non-Jew, it's forbidden as a loan from the Jew. But if the first borrower presented him to the non-Jew, who agreed to transfer the loan to him, is permitted as a loan from the non-Jew. In the reverse case, where the lender is a Jew and the first borrower is a non-Jew, then borrowing from the first borrower is permitted, but if the transfer is made at the lender's direction, it's prohibited as a loan from the Jew. The final ruling is understandable, for although a non-Jew cannot be or appoint a shaliach, so the lender is actually the non-Jewish intermediary, the Braisa rules strictly to consider the non-Jew a shaliach of the Jewish lender. However, in the first pair of cases of the non-Jewish lender, the loan should be prohibited even at the lender's discretion, since the Jewish borrower cannot be a shaliach. Rav Papa answers, Kagon shenatav nasim b'yad. It's a case where the non-Jew took the money from the first borrower and gave it with his hand to the second borrower. So the loan is from the non-Jew. The Gemara explains the Chiddush. And point number three, Ravashi attempts to answer that a non-Jew is only disqualified from shlichus for truma, but not other halachos. In another version, he said that although a non-Jew cannot be a shliach, a Jew can be his shliach. Both of these answers are disproven based on the source for shlichus from truma. Ravina answers, Nihi de shlichus lenachir leisle. Granted, the non-Jew does not have the power of shlichus, zechiyam and the rabbanon esle, but rabbinically he has the power of acquisition through a third party without the beneficiary's knowledge of appointing a shliach. Therefore, the second borrower acquires the payment on the non-Jew's behalf and then borrows it from him. Ravina derives this from a katan who is disqualified from shlichus, since he cannot separate truma, the source for shlichus, yet rabbinically still has the power of zechiyah. The Gemara rejects Ravina's proof. Yisrael asu l'chol shlichus. A Jew, even a katan, will later come into the principle of shlichus when he matures, so the rabbis granted him zechiyah while he's still a katan, whereas a non-Jew will never be eligible for shlichus and so does not have zechiyah. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Ein Aleph, and this Simmer was suggested to us by Sammy Rubin from London. He suggested that Ein Aleph is a donkey going E-R. So here goes. After the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to act only as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri. For although non-Jews are disqualified from Shlichus, they still have Zechiyah. Once again, it's a motion. After the Ribbis lender's donkey, that must be on Daf Ein Aleph, E-R. After the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, which reminds us, the Gemara talks about the blindness of those who lend with Ribbis and teaches that their possessions will falter and not rise again. So after the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with interest and another Jew asked to borrow the money and pay the additional interest to the non-Jew, it's forbidden as a loan from the Jew. But if the first borrower presented him to the non-Jew who agreed to transfer the loan to him, it's permitted as a loan from the non-Jew. So after the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri. For although non-Jews are disqualified from shlichus, they still have zechiyah, which reminds us, Ravina says, that granted that a non-Jew does not have the power of shlichus, zechiyah midrabban esle, but rabbinically, they have the power of acquisition through a third party without the beneficiary's knowledge of appointing a shlichus. Therefore, the second borrower acquires the payment on the non-Jew's behalf and then borrows it from him. Ravina derives this from a katan who is disqualified from shlichus, since he can't separate truma, the source for shlichus, yet rabbinically still has the power of zechiyah. The Gemara rejects Ravina's proof at Yisrael, asti l'chol shlichus. A Jew, even a katan, will later come into the principle of shlichus when he matures. So the rabbis granted him zechiyah while he's still a katan, whereas a non-Jew will never be eligible for shlichus and so does not have zechiyah. So once again, after the Ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his Ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri. For although non-Jews are disqualified from shlichus, they still have zechiyah. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The end of Zman barbecue. That must be more on Daf Samach Zayin. Sizzling barbecue. The end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis, which reminds us. The Gemara relates an incident which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of Ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of produce in the interim is Ribbis. The Gemara asks if the produce consumption is considered Ribbis Kutsutsa, set Ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only Avak Ribbis, secondary Ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rabba ruled that it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachur who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledge property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early, then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as Avak Ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and evict him. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him since it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt. Which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledged property in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it's effectively a sale of the produce and not ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, Atzubra Merabban, a rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. Daf Samaches, so the simmer Daf Samaches is Schach. So here goes. After the Schach farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Samaches, Schach. After the Schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via Chakirin Narshai, since it looks like ribbis, which reminds the Gemara discusses Chakirin Narshai, Narshan leases, which state in the collateral document that Pony the borrower pledges land to Pony the lender and then leased it back from him for a fixed yearly amount. Although a Mishkanta may be permitted with yearly deductions, this lease is prohibited because people will say, when did the lender acquire it that he can lease it to the borrower? Although he legally possessed the land and may lease it to anyone, leasing it back to the borrower gives the impression that the lender never took it and the lease amount is ribbis. So, after the Schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via a Chakirin Narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell a Schach and keep half his profits or losses, which reminds us the next mission states, Ein Moshiv Mchemveni L'machsid Schar. One may not set up a storekeeper with goods which he'll sell from for half the profit, nor can one give someone money to buy goods and sell them for half the profit, unless he gives them wages like a worker. This is the arrangement of iska, business, in which one person provides the goods or capital, and the other sells the goods, and they divide the profit. The managing partner assumes liability for half the losses of the goods, which renders that half a loan, and he only retains profit from the half loan to him. Therefore, his selling the goods of the other half is providing a free service for the lender and constitutes ribbis, unless the managing partner is paid wages for a service. So after the Schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via Chakirin Narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell his Schach and keep half his profits or losses, paying him full wages like a polo battle, which reminds us in a Brisa Tanaim dispute how much the managing partner must be paid to permit iska. Rabbi Meir says any amount is sufficient, whether a lot or a little. Rabbi Yehuda says even if he merely dipped food in fish sauce with the one providing the capital, or only ate one dried fig with him, this is sufficient for his weight. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, "No sin scharo mishalim." He must be paid his full wages, which Rashi explains to mean like a poel batol. Daf samach tes. So the simmer daf samach tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep. So here goes. After the partner of Swiss sweeper chimney sweeps chimney sweep, that must be on daf samach tes soot. After the partner of Swiss Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes need to be assessed, as opposed to the cash, which reminds us, we learned that one can unilaterally divide a partnership of money, but not a partnership of merchandise, such as wine. Rapop explained that in contrast to money, where all coins are equal, so long as they're all the same quality coins, wine cannot be divided unilaterally because everyone knows that there's flavorful wine and wine which is not so flavorful, so an assessment is required to divide it. So, after the partner of Swift Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, which reminds us, Rav Chama used to rent out Ziz coins for a daily fee and lost all his money as a punishment for violating ribbis. He had initially reasoned, how is it different from renting out an item such as a spade? Just as one may charge to rent out a spade, the same should be permitted with money. The Gemara says that this isn't so, because a spade is itself returned at the end of the rental period, and its loss through onus or use is the owner's responsibility, and its depreciation through its use is recognizable for which the owner can charge. In contrast, coins are not themselves returned at the end of the rental periods, but replaced, which defines it as a halva, and its depreciation through use is not recognizable, so the owner had no justification to charge for its use. So, after the partner of Swiss Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, and gave some money to his friend to lend money to Plony, the poor chimney sweeper. Which reminds us, Rava said that one can say to his fellow, here are 4 zuzim for you, lend money to Plony. Although the lender profits from this loan, it's permitted because the Torah only forbade ribbis, which is paid from the borrower to the lender, as opposed to this case where a third party paid the lender on his own. Daf Ayin. So the simmer Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. The pediatric eye doctor, that must be Mardav Ayan. The pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvlas Char Barach Mehav said, which reminds us, the Gemara says that orphans' money may be lent out in an ISKA, which is Karvlas Char Barach Mehav said, near to profit and far from loss, meaning they share in the profit but not in the losses. Although this is rabbinically forbidden, it was permitted for orphans so they should not deplete their estate through living expenses. So the pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvas Char Barach Mehav said, while having them read the chart with letters that spelled Tzom Barzel equals Ribbis, which reminds us, the next mission states, Ein Mekablin Tzom Barzel Meisrael, one may not accept property as a Tzom Barzel arrangement from a Jew, Mekneshu Ribbis, because the owner's profits are Ribbis. In this investment, the manager accepts complete responsibility for all losses, and they divide the profits. So the pediatric eye doctor who advises orphan patients to invest in his risk-free eyeglass ISK investments, which were Karvlas Char Barach Mehav said, while having them read the chart with letters that spelled Tzom Barzel equals Ribbis, was surprised when he was told that their late father lent money with Ribbis to non-Jews enough for his livelihood, which reminds us, the Gemara addresses whether one may take Ribbis from a non-Jew, and the Gemara concludes that one may take Ribbis from them, b'chtei chayav, enough for their livelihood. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which of the one that the Torah only forbids ribbis from the lova to the malva? That's on Daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 2, which of the one about the allowance for Yosomi to make an iska, which is Karvlas Char Barach Hefsid? That's on Daf Ayin. Good. Number 3, which Daf do we discuss borrowing with ribbis from a non-Jew with a Jewish intermediary? That's on Daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 4, which of the one about the arrangement of iska, a business in which one person provides the goods or capital and the other sells the goods and they divide the profits? That's on Daf Samaches. Good. Number 5, which of the one that Rabino holds, a non-Jew has the power of sechia, even though he cannot have shlichus? That's on Daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 6, which Daf do we discuss with the topic whether mechil b'tal is havi mechila, whether a mistaken waiver is an effective waiver? That's on Daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 7, which Daf do we discuss lending to a non-Jew with ribbis? That's on Daf Ayin. Good. Number 8, which Daf do we know that one who lends with ribbis will see his property falter and not rise again? That's on Daf Ayin Av. Good. Number 9, which Daf do we know that one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, but one may not increase the purchase price of a sale for delayed payment? That's on Daf Samachay. Good. Number 10, which Daf do we learn why one can charge rent for use of an item, but not for money? That's on Daf Samach Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.